Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness and people who spy on everything you do in the hopes to send you to some gulag education centre, in the neoliberal sense of the word, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. We're broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated procrastination of New Zealand, the sunny slave South Pacific island chains nation. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which according to the Prime Minister John Key is good for the economy, because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb so that they can pay the extra GST tax that he put up when he said that he wouldn't. My very special guest is Penny Bright. Welcome back.
Oh, hi, Vinny. New Zealand, the corrupt, polluted tax haven. Oops, sorry to pop the hot air balloon there. Yes, what I'd like to remind people of, Vinny, is when I stood as an Auckland mayoral candidate 3 years ago in 2010, I stood as a public watchdog, not a corporate lapdog, to try and help stop the corporate takeover of Auckland. And just briefly, this is what I campaigned on 3 years ago. It's time to roll back Rogernomics. This is not left versus right. This is public versus corporate. The Super City agenda is about replacing thousands of piggy-in-the-middle private contractors with fewer but bigger multinational snouts into a bigger public trough. Cut out the contractors. You didn't vote for this Auckland Super City and Rogernomics blitzkrieg to seize control of $28 billion of Auckland public assets. Seven corporate council-controlled organisations, CCOs, will grab 75% of Auckland regional rates. Do you want unelected business people controlling your interests? These CCOs will be run like a business, by business, for business, setting up for future privatisation under public-private partnerships, PPPs. Have your rates gone down since the last council amalgamations, ever. The Super City legislation that set up this corporate structure at Canna must be repealed. You can make history, vote for proven public watchdog, vote Penny Bright for mayor. Well, in actual fact, I got less than 3,000 votes, but I do believe that seizing the moment and making this huge fuss about these issues did actually help to make sure that John Banks didn't get in, because he nailed his colours to the Super City mast and the ship went down. And Len Brown, who actually wasn't that much different to John Banks in terms of underpinning policies, but a bit more personable, he got in. Well, the fact of the matter is now, 3 years later, I am continuing the job, because now we have all the facts and evidence that prove the Super City was a corrupt corporate coup, and what now needs to happen is we must get rid of the CCOs, the corporate-controlled organisations. We must get rid of these unelected business people who are, like I say, running our region like a business, by business, for business, and the only interests that are being looked after are those of business. So what's happening is this time I've got a very clear action plan to prevent corruption, white-collar crime and corporate welfare, and that's what I'll be focusing on. And with the Occupy Auckland appeal, where I was one of the two appellants, and we were successful, an evidence that I produced in the High Court shows how Auckland Council is being run by the 1%. And if people want to see the evidence of that, if you go to the website www.occupyaucklandversusaucklandcouncilappeal.org.nz, you can see the affidavit I put in, the 10 new items of evidence I was allowed to adduce, and these are critical because they show how the Auckland Council is being run by the 1%. Have a look. That's the background.
Yeah. And how would you... Well, here's the thing that I don't get about the Super City, Penny.
Yep.
Every major poll that was taken said the vast majority of Aucklanders did not want it. It was even in the legislation that a public binding poll must be held whenever you're amalgamating councils. And then they said, no, we're not doing that. And then people went, oh, we want a referendum then. We want the people's voice to be heard. Then they said, no, no referendum. So it's like, here's your $400 million plus of assets in your city, and we're taking it with or without your fracking approval, Auckland. Frack you.
Well, what happened is I've got in front of me a very popular leaflet that the Stop the Super City group helped put out. And this is dated June 2009, 4 years ago, and it makes exactly that point. Citizens have been denied our democratic right under the Local Government Act 2002 to a binding vote on the Super City proposal. Because under the Local Government Act 2002, Section 24 reorganisation proposal, Schedule 3, Section 49, poll must be held. It wasn't. What happened was at 30,000 feet, legislation was railroaded through which trampled over our lawful right to have a binding vote on the Super City. And, of course, the reason why they did that was because they knew the public would never, ever have agreed with this. And what's happened, Vinny, ever since we've had this Super City monstrosity forced upon us...
Everybody has been complaining.
Well, not only that, but the rates have only gone up. And that's what I said at the time. I said, this is not for citizens and ratepayers. They say they're going to get economies of scale. When they amalgamate these eight previous councils and put them all together, you will get savings. Is that right? So how come the rates keep going up? I'll tell you why. Because it's bigger contracts for fewer but bigger private contractors. And we're not being given the devilish detail. The books are not open, which is why I have not paid any rates for the last 5 years, and I won't. I've been taken to court twice, I've lost twice, but I've said directly at council meetings, looking at Len Brown in the eye, I said, if you want to apply to the High Court for a writ of sale of my property because to enforce my not paying my rates, I said, bring it on. We will have an election campaign over that because you promised, Len Brown, at the last elections, the books would be open. They're not. We are not being told the names of the contractors or consultants, the scope of the contracts, the term or the value of the contracts. Vinny, how can you do line-by-line accounting if the books aren't open and you don't get to see those lines? Are there any lines? We don't know where our money's going. And yet the council's just agreed to another 2.9 rates increase and the books still are not open.
Where the money's going.
No, we don't.
For all we know, it could be going into an enormous bag of cocaine that Len Brown has in his basement.
I'm not going there. But bottom line is, under the Local Government Act, we have a right to open, transparent, and democratically accountable local government. And all these people say, penny bite, why are you not paying your rates, blah, blah. I'm saying, I am making a stand for everybody because you're not going to tell me where my money's going. I'm not giving you any. That is not prudent stewardship, and it's not following the Public Records Act, Section 17, which says at local government level, full and accurate records must be kept, including contracts with the private sector. The CEO is not doing his job, and I've gone to council meetings. I've looked at Doug Mackay in the eye, he's the CEO, and said, I don't believe you're fit for duty, because under Section 42 of the Local Government Act, which covers the role, the statutory duties of the CEO, they're supposed to have proper financial reporting systems in place. If the books are not open, those proper financial reporting systems are not in place. So he's not fit for duty. And I mean, I believe that the CEO, Doug Mackay, is like a form of corporate free-range chook. What happens is, he wanders around, he just seems to do exactly as he pleases, but he's not doing the job that he's getting an enormous amount of public money to do, which is to act as the principal administrative officer, CEO of Auckland Council, and to make sure the law is followed and things are done in a proper way. Well, guess what? They're not. They're not, and it's not okay.
Well, we suspected that this would be the agenda all the way from start to finish, didn't we, Penny?
Exactly
we saw this coming. It was so predictable, so obvious, so odious was the plan for Auckland City. We saw right through it. I've known this was coming for years in advance, and everybody's just shocked as it comes in totally unexpectedly, and that all their rates are going up, and there's copious quantities of corruption, and a Freemason in the mayoral office chair. It's just like, yeah, well, you idiots. You didn't frickin' listen to us a couple of years ago, did you?
Well, I mean, it's interesting that some people now are guessing it, that there actually isn't much, I mean, difference, you know, in terms of, you know, Len Brown, John Banks. The fact is, although Len is more personable on a, you know, on a one-to-one basis, in actual fact, he's done nothing to stop the CCOs. And quite frankly, why would the unelected, hugely powerful private lobby group, the Committee for Auckland or the New Zealand Property Council, and it's those two groups that are running the Auckland region, let's get this dead straight, why would they want anybody to replace Len? No disrespect, Len, but you're doing a great job for the 1%, and that's a fact.
Yeah. The Committee for Auckland involved in the commission of a crime, basically. That's as far as I see it.
Well, the fact is, how many people have even heard of the Committee for Auckland? Let me tell you about the Committee for Auckland. They're basically the business roundtable on steroids, okay? That the Committee for Auckland is not just CEOs of huge private sector companies, but it's CEOs of district health boards, CEOs of tertiary institutions, CEOs of corporate Māori, and CEOs of corporate charity. Now, it's invitation only, $10,000 a year membership fee. And guess who's a member? Doug Mackay, the CEO of Auckland Council. Now, I've made a huge fuss about that because I said, well, hang on a minute. When did ratepayers decide that we want our CEO as a member of this unelected, highly powerful private lobby group? And then I got an Official Information Act reply back from Auckland Council saying that, oh, no, he didn't pay the fee. He's an honorary member. And guess what? No elected member of Auckland Council ever endorsed or authorised Doug Mackay being a member of this unelected private lobby group. Well, on the 23rd of May this month, I will be attending a meeting of the Governing Board of Auckland Council, and my subject matter is exactly that point, because under the proposed plan for how Auckland Council is supposed to deal with this upcoming election, public servants are supposed to be apolitical. And what I want to know is how come the CEO of Auckland Council, Doug Mackay, is a member of the Committee for Auckland. That is highly, highly political. Because guess what, Vinny? The big question is, how many contracts are going to member companies of the Committee for Auckland?
I would wager virtually all of them, if not obviously all of them.
Well, I've asked, and again, because we're not given that detail, we don't know. Now, how is that anything but a major conflict of interest to have the CEO of this public body, an unelected member of this invitation-only private lobby group? How is that okay? Well, guess what? The other thing I want to do about it, because I made a complaint, me and others made a complaint to the useless Office of the Auditor General about this conflict of interest, and the Office of the Auditor General, at least they're consistent in their uselessness, again, you know, did nothing, put it in writing that they weren't going to do anything. And so it is my intention, I spoke to a complaints officer from the Serious Fraud Office yesterday, and that is one of the things that I want, is that the Serious Fraud Office, which is the lead agency in New Zealand fighting corruption, to take this matter up. Because, here's another fact that a lot of people don't know, that there are 7 council-controlled, or should I say corporate-controlled organisations. The Committee for Auckland in each of the CCOs has at least 2 people who are members of the Committee for Auckland on these CCO bodies. Now, they're either there as the chair of the board of directors, a director, or as a CEO of those CCOs. So what you've got is this enormously powerful, great big octopus, which has got its tentacles directly extending into the public body, which was the Auckland Council and the CCOs. Now, how dodgy is that?
Now, I wonder what the Auditor General's real post and what his job description is. Is the Auditor General's job to make sure that complaints are generally inaudible?
Well, basically, the person who is the Auditor General is actually a female, Lynn Provo. But I have to say, over the years, Vinny, I have taken complaints to the Office of the Auditor General maybe now 8 or 9 times, and serious matters. And every time, they have done nothing. In my considered opinion, they are spectacularly useless. And I say that in a caring way. But honestly...
Useless to you and anybody else who wants the country to not be fracked up by corporate scumbags. Therefore, it occurs to me that they might be actively working for these fracks.
Well, are they a public watchdog or are they a corporate lapdog? My experience, and I'm giving a considered opinion here, is that they are corporate lapdogs. Let me give you that one of the best examples is the rort of Metro Water charitable payments. Okay, I made a complaint as a spokesperson for the Water Pressure Group back in 2004 to the Office of the Auditor General, saying that Metro Water has been used as a giant cash cow, that payments for water and wastewater services were being increased, and then the money was being given to the council in the form of charitable payments to be used for other things. And the Office of the Auditor General okayed and whitewashed that. 3 years later, after a petition signed by 40 Water Pressure Group members helped to get a select committee of inquiry, the local government and environment select committee ruled the Metro Water charitable payments was unacceptable, and we got it stopped. And over 10 years, Auckland City Council had wanted to garner $320 million in the form of charitable payments from Metro Water and the Water Pressure Group. We got that stopped. Beat that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Penny, I was talking to a mate of mine the other day about how much respect I've got for certain women who are activists and things like that. And, of course, your name came up because you're so tenacious and, basically, you scare the heck out of me. So imagine how frightening you are to these big, disgusting, grovelling, cigar-smoking, 75-year-old Scotch whiskey-guzzling scum. We'll be right back after the break. The VinnieEastonShow.com with Penny Bright. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Penny Bright, soon to be the Lord Mayor of Auckland, hopefully, otherwise to be referred to as Her Worship. So Her Worship is not the one. She's Her Worship, you know, with the battle guns and things of that nature.
Oh, okay, Vinnie, thanks for that. Well, in terms of policies, well, following on from issues I campaigned over 3 years ago, campaigning for open, transparent and democratically accountable Auckland Council, number one, open the books. Open the books so we know exactly where the money's going. The second point is, if there's no cost-benefit analysis that proves that contracting out is more cost-effective for citizens and ratepayers, cut out the contractors, cut out the consultants, and bring those services back directly in-house. Number two is get rid of the CCOs, the council-controlled organisational model. I did a huge amount of research prior to the last mayoral campaign, and we found out there was never any cost-benefit analysis of this model. And I checked the Office of the Auditor General, never did one. The Department of Internal Affairs never did one. None of the 8 former councils ever did one, and neither did Treasury. So the concept that you are going to use this untried, untested model, put all your eggs in this council-controlled organisational model basket, when it has not been proven to serve the interests of the public majority, I mean, that is just totally fiscally irresponsible. Anyway, we know that they're a crock. And the fact of the matter is that private business people, when they come from the private or the corporate sector, what the hell do they know about the public service or being public servants? They haven't got a clue. They may be used to the Companies Act, the law of contracts, but the private sector, they're all about making money for shareholders. Well, guess what? When you come into a public sector office, such as local government, excuse me, it's a completely different world, or it should be. And what I am arguing, and I've taken this directly to, for example, the CEO Review Committee, because Doug McKay is not reapplying for his job in December this year. They're going to get someone else. And so I said, hang on a minute.
Well, hold on. Let me guess. He's going to get some massive job as a consultant somewhere.
I couldn't possibly comment on that. I don't know. But the fact is that when you get people from the private sector, they're not fit for duty. You know, like, what do they know about the Local Government Act, the Local Government Rating Act, the Human Rights Act, the Bill of Rights Act?
Penny, is there an induction ceremony of some description? You know, allegedly Parliament's has induction ceremonies for its MPs, so they tell you about what you can and can't do and the new rules and things of that nature. Do they tell that to people at the council when they get inducted?
I think there's some very brief, something happens, but it's very brief. But the point is, if you've got people who've had decades of experience in the private sector, does a leopard change its spots? And the fact of the matter, I mean, look at John Key. I mean, the fact, he's come from being foreign exchange dealer, where you may do deals over the phone or over dinner, but that is no way to run a country. And that's what I keep saying about the importance of the Public Records Act, full and accurate written records. Because how many times do we see that there's been these really important meetings concerning affairs of state? There's no written records and nobody can remember the conversations. Well, I'm sorry, that doesn't work for me, and it's not following the law and the statutory duties that are imposed by the Public Records Act 2005. Please, people, New Zealanders, Google Public Records Act, read it for yourself.
They're not following their own laws.
They are not following their own laws. In fact, and just on a slightly different matter, the whole the sale of state-owned assets, just so people know, the ball has not been dropped over the Mighty River Power share launch. What has happened is formal complaints have been made to the Financial Markets Authority, the FMA, and also to the New Zealand Stock Exchange, because that those responsible for setting the final price for Mighty River Power shares were John Key, Prime Minister, Bill English, Tony Ryle and Stephen Joyce. Now, hang on a minute. The people that were responsible for setting the final price were four ministers at the highest levels, absolutely hell-bent in selling off, partially privatising that asset, come what may. Well, guess what? Under the Security Markets Act 1988, if you are an information insider, which those four ministers were, because they wouldn't tell us how they were going to arrive at this good price. They had information not available to the market, made them information insiders. As an information insider, you are prohibited by law, and it's actually a criminal offence to encourage trading. Well, you look at the press releases that were made by John Key, Bill English, Stephen Joyce and Tony Ryle in trying to encourage the dumb and mad investors to please, buy shares. They most definitely, in my opinion, were involved in criminal market manipulation, and complaints have been made to the Finance Markets Authority on that basis, and it's being looked into. And same with the New Zealand Stock Exchange. Regarding disclosure, all those huge full-page ads, who's ever seen a campaign like it, encouraging New Zealanders to share in something we already owned. And it was, the ads did not change, although we were told that the Labor Party, Green Party, New Zealand Power proposal was like North Korea, it's economic sabotage, it's this big, scary, hairy monster, and that that, you know, the sky's going to fall in, but look on those full-page ads. How were inexperienced mum and dad investors to be made aware of the increased risk? And that's what the New Zealand Stock Exchange is looking into. So it's like, you know, that graphic of the frog. The stork's got the frog's head in its mouth, and the hands of the frog around the necks of the stork. That's the situation we're in. It's like some of us have been totally focused on trying to stop the sale, not just trying to oppose the sale, but stop it. And I want people to think of a pyramid. Whenever you're involved in any protest, think of a pyramid. Broaden the base and narrow the target. Why exactly are you marching down the street? What exactly do you want? Because often what I'm finding is a lot of protests, they're not clear, they're not focused, it's not sharp and pointed. What do we want? But with the Switch Off Mercury Energy Group that I've been involved in, we've been absolutely focused from day one to try and stop the sale of Mighty River Power, because Tony Wiles said, 17th of June last year, let me make it quite clear, the government will not sell unless we can get a good price. Well, they didn't get a good price. They, you know, they sold it $2.50 a share. So who are they working for, Vinny? Taxpayers or investors? Because guess what? The majority of taxpayers are not investors. They've hardly got enough money to pay their stinking power bill, let alone got a spare couple of thousand dollars to invest in something they already own.
It's complete and utter madness. Unless you're a ruthless psychopath who loves stealing stuff off people.
Yeah, something to that effect, Vinny. But that's the secret. Like I said, and same with this mayoral campaign, it's not left versus right. And I mean, I've had people say, oh, why are you standing against John Minto? It's like, well, hang on a minute. Number one, I had my hand up and I said that I was going to stand again sometime before John got Mana to endorse him. And neither John nor Mana ever approached me about this, which is, you know, that's okay. But the fact of the matter is, I think it's a good idea that John's standing, because he's going to be able to help outline Mana policies, which a number of which I agree with. And so in terms of using the electoral process to make a fuss about the issues, there's other people that I'd like to see stand in order to give these issues a huge airing. Because I know 3 years ago it helped, in my view. A lot of people got it about how the super city was not a good thing, but, oh, we don't want John Banks in, and we'd really like to vote for you, Penny, but we're going to vote for Liam Brown because we don't want John Banks. Okay.
Yeah. So I want to vote for the person who's exactly like John Banks, because I really, really don't like John Banks.
Interesting, isn't it? But, yeah.
Okay, whoa. This is my point. The public is frickin' retarded, Penny. They're frickin' retarded. They have no idea what the heck is going on. Most of them. Yeah, even the ones that freaking go out and bother to vote. How many people voted in the last Auckland mayoral election? There's 1.4 million people. How many votes got counted? Like 200,000 plus, something like that.
In terms of the percentage, I should know this off my top of my head, but I can't remember. But I mean, local government voting is, you know, is quite low, maybe 50% or something like that. But you see that the thing is. The thing is, Vinny, that, as I say, is an opportunity to explain the issues. I mean, for $200 to register as a candidate, you get 150 words that goes into a little booklet that goes into every house in the Auckland region from Papakura to Rodney. Now, in terms of cost effectiveness, beat that. Because you can advertise your website, you can make your points really clearly, and at least it helps to alert people. Because like I say, if there's one thing that I'm going to achieve on this campaign, is that people are going to have heard of the Committee for Auckland. Because there's no mainstream media has ever done a story on the Committee for Auckland. It's like this is a herd of mammoth elephants in the room. A herd of mammoth elephants, Vinny, the Committee for Auckland. And who's ever read about them in the local paper?
How much members of the Committee of Auckland used to work for TV3 and TVNZ, I wonder?
Well, I mean, there's all sorts of interconnections there, but you know how I really like making banners. Well, that's going to be one banner that I'm going to make, and I'm going to have pictures of the faces of Committee for Auckland members and show how they are currently interwoven into the Auckland Council and Auckland CCO structure. I'm going to name them and I'm going to shame them. And it's going to be there for the world to see.
Well, they are the tentacles that are squeezing the life out of the city. Now,
exactly right.
Agenda 21 occurs to me now. They're trying to... This is the other thing. Urbanisation, increased urbanisation, building up rather than building out. You know, when I was a kid, I thought that was a good idea. But now I know that there's an agenda behind it so that people really... they won't really have any freedoms left or anything.
Well, it's really interesting, Vinny, because you know me, I do my homework. And this concept that the mantra that we're getting is this million people coming to Auckland over the next 30 years. And it's like, well, hang on, back up the bus. Where's the evidence to support this million-person mantra? So I've done Official Information Act request to Nick Smith, the Minister of Housing. I've just today got a reply back because some of the questions were flicked off to the Minister for Statistics, Maurice Williamson, because I totally take the point of my very good friend Sue Henry, who's been a state housing advocate and a very effective one for about the last 30 years. And this is the issue. Why does all the growth have to come to Auckland in the first place? Why isn't there a national growth strategy? Who is benefiting from all this Auckland growth apart from property developers, speculators, and overseas investors? And at the moment, the Auckland region is going through this draft unitary plan, otherwise known as the Daft Lunatic Plan, and people have till the end of this month, May, to put in submissions to help stop this potential intensification and slumification of Auckland. Why does Auckland have to go up? Why does Auckland have to go out? Aren't there places in New Zealand where people could be encouraged to settle south of the Bombay Hills? How come in Dunedin there's such a strong Scottish influence? Because guess what? Immigrants from Scotland were encouraged to go and settle in Dunedin. And what was wrong with that?
It's just as cold as Scotland. That's what's wrong with it.
Be that as it may, we'll just dress warmly. But anyway, the point is that, and I mean, I've stood on my hind legs and I've challenged this issue of why does all the growth have to come to Auckland when you bring that up? Because that's the whole underpinning thing. You know, if it wasn't all coming to Auckland, you wouldn't need all this pack and stack them, you know, these proposals. But the other thing is what you've got to look for in this corrupt corporate super city are links between the New Zealand Property Council and the Committee for Auckland and the Auckland Council Property Limited CCO. You know, we'll be...
I don't know about you, Penny. I don't know about you, but what I think is going to happen here, and this is in the Agenda 21 document, is that they're going to basically shove everybody into massive megacities and pack them and stack them things, connect the several megacities with mega highways, and they're going to close off the off-ramps and on-ramps to all the rural areas and let it all go back to nature. So all the farmers and everybody who's doing any kind of production or living off the land or anybody who's actually got any freedom left or anything will be stuck in a city under surveillance 24/7 in a pack'em and stack'em frickin' slave block next to the train tracks with no ability to get a personal vehicle conveyance.
Well, that's on that cheery note. it's just helping to alert people to what is happening and what is behind these agendas. Because that Agenda 21, I did done a bit of SWOT on that, and the role of corporations was specifically excluded from Agenda 21 in terms of their framework. Well, how bollocks is that?
We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. The final segment coming up with Penny Bright. Waterpressure.wordpress.com is her website. TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com is mine. Back in a minute.
Uh-oh. Speed Wayne rappers, but I've never never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's our final segment here. Before we go back to Penny, I just wanted to let people know that the show is entirely pretty much listener supported. So your donations and subscriptions are literally the only thing that keeps me on air. Okay? Every single person that we have on this show talk about really important stuff that can actually benefit whatever country you're in. You know, if you really have a look at the nitty-gritty details and things like that, you'll see there's the same crap going on here in New Zealand. There's the same crap going on everywhere in New Zealand. And there is only one news service in this country who covers all the eclectic spectra of issues. And that's me. Nobody else, just me. In terms of radio and video, nobody else is doing it. People are writing articles, and we have Uncensored magazine here from Jonathan Eisen, and of course the other magazine that they do, the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine. But other than that, the alternative media in New Zealand is very, very much on the underside, and there is not a whole lot of choice. Now, I do make sure that when I do find other people in New Zealand who are doing radio or YouTube videos or something of that nature, I make sure to bring them on the show so that they can have a little bit more coverage and perhaps grow their own little operation so it's not just me anymore. I've invited activists and things into my house and taught them and showed them how to use my camera equipment, let them borrow it when they go off to protest, and then showed them how to edit it and then upload it for them and things like that. So if you want to be an activist, I can assure you that the best way to do it effectively is to make your own media out of it if you have the time. Most of them don't have the time. That's why I take the responsibility to do it for them, because they're so much more busy making things happen, looking through legislation, writing letters of submission, going to public meetings, going to protests, going to council scumbaggery association confabs, you know. They do all the important work. I'm just your friendly neighborhood douchebag reporter. So please support me by giving a donation or a subscription of a couple of dollars a month, just a couple of dollars a month. We'll give you some commercial-free archives. That saves you about 30 minutes of listening per day. That's like 10 hours a month that you can save yourself, and that's only if you're listening to the shows once. Nice and quick. Nice and simple, nice and easy. And if you want those ad-free archives for free anyway, just ask me and I'll send you the link. It's not that complicated. Now, at the moment, I'm at a loss because I have my Bluetooth wireless microphones finally died. I use my equipment so much, and stuff is not built to last these days, that after hundreds and hundreds of videos that I've made, recorded the sound with those Bluetooth wireless microphones, they are no longer working. Okay, and it costs about 450 New Zealand dollars to replace them at the Sony store. Okay, and I was like, oh my God, let's get one real quickly. And guess what? They're out of them for the next 5 weeks. So I've had to turn to eBay, and eBay's got one for about 250 delivered. If somebody's capable of sending me $250 so I can get my microphones replaced, because we tried to do it with a regular microphone when I had somebody over here the other day, and it was remarkably difficult. It is so much easier to just clip on and then it's done. So please, if somebody can help me to do that so I can help all the activists and stuff, as I do and have proven that I've been doing for years and years, when nobody else in this country has even made even one iota of effort to do what I've been doing, please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Make a donation. Subscribe. I will be worth it. Back to Penny.
First of all, Vinny, I'd just like to give you the big thumbs up. I have worked with you for some years, and you have been there at critical times. And, I really encourage people, if you know, even if it's $5 a week or something, just to subscribe. If I was on the bones of my bum, I'd do a bit more of that myself. But, Vinny does deserve supporting, okay? Anyway, but before I get on to this action plan against white-collar crime, corruption and corporate welfare, just a very quick update on the campaign against John Banks. Now, who would ever have expected John Banks, the Minister for Small Business and Regulatory Reform, the Associate Minister of Education and Commerce, to be up in the dock as the defendant, John Banks. Who would have believed that? The secret is, Vinnie, never, ever drop the ball. And full credit to Private Prosecutor Graham McCready for his work as a private prosecutor in getting this matter before the court. It's been a long time coming.
It reminds me, Penny, do you know how to contact him? Because I would love his phone number to be able to interview him, because nothing fills my heart with joy more than the thought of Banksy going to frickin' jail.
Well, the fact of the matter is, a lot of people don't know this either, is that under the Electoral Act, the section that deals with vacancies, if an MP is convicted of an offence that carries 2 years jail or more, if they're convicted, even if it was fined $1, John Banks is gone, Berger. It's not, oh, I choose to resign. Sorry, you are out of there. And that's a really big deal. Even if the matter's appealed, he's still out of there. So if people want to know more about the campaign against John Banks, look at dodgyjohnhasgone.com. It's got some of Graham McCready's court documents in there. There's the very significant decision of Judge Mill from the Wellington District Court. You'll find it fascinating reading, and that's the website that gives you what's happening with the John Banks case. He's next due in court on the 30th of May. All right? So we'll be there with bells on. Anyway, that's John Banks. Okay, just going through, how long we got, Vinnie?
4 minutes, Penny.
4 months, okay. Just racing through here. The action plan to prevent corruption, white-collar crime and corporate welfare in New Zealand. Get our anti-corruption domestic legislative framework in place so New Zealand can ratify the UN Convention Against Corruption. Set up a New Zealand independent anti-corruption body tasked with educating the public and preventing corruption. Change New Zealand laws to ensure genuine transparency in the funding of candidates for elected public office and political parties at central and local government level. And with all the banks' fuss, we are getting law changes at local government level. Legislate for an enforceable code of conduct for New Zealand members of parliament who make the rules for everyone else. Make it an offence under the Local Government Act for New Zealand government elected representatives to breach their code of conduct. Make it a lawful requirement for a publicly available register of interest for New Zealand local government elected representatives. Make it a lawful requirement for a publicly available register of interest for New Zealand central government staff responsible for property and procurement, including the Ministry of Health, in order to help prevent conflicts of interest. Same thing, a publicly available register of interest for New Zealand local government staff, directors and staff employed by council-controlled organisations responsible for property and procurement. Make it a lawful requirement for details of contracts issued, including the name of the contractor, scope, term and value of the contract, to be published in New Zealand Central Government Public Sector and Local Government Council and CCO annual reports so they are available for public scrutiny. Open the books. Make it a lawful requirement that a cost-benefit analysis of New Zealand central government and local government public finances be undertaken to prove that private procurement of public services previously provided in-house is cost-effective for the public majority. If not, then return public service provision to staff directly employed in-house and cut out these private contractors who are effectively dependent on corporate welfare. Legislate for a legally enforceable code of conduct for members of the New Zealand judiciary to ensure they are not above the law. Ensure that all New Zealand court proceedings are recorded and audio records made available to parties who request them. Make it a lawful requirement for a publicly available New Zealand judicial register of interest to help prevent conflicts of interest. Make it a lawful requirement for a publicly available New Zealand register of lobbyists and code of conduct for lobbyists at central government ministerial level. Make it a lawful requirement at New Zealand central and local government level for a post-separation employment quarantine period from the time officials leave the public service to take up a similar role in the private sector help stop the revolving door. Make it a lawful requirement that it is only a binding vote of the public majority that can determine whether public assets held at New Zealand's central or local government level are sold or leased via public-private partnerships, PPPs. Make it unlawful for politicians to knowingly misrepresent their policies prior to election at central or local government level. Make laws to protect individuals, NGOs and community-based organisations who are whistleblowing against conflicts of interest and corrupt practices at central and local government level and within the judiciary. Last but not least, legislate to help stop state capture, a form of grand corruption arguably endemic in New Zealand, where vested interests get their way at the policy level before the legislation is passed, which serves their interests. And if anyone wants to contact me to help with the campaign in any way, my email is waterpressure, one word, waterpressure@gmail.com. We need to get this message out. If you want to help, and remember, activists get things done, send us an email.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. Waterpressure.wordpress is the website, wordpress.com, sorry, and as well as Dodgy John Has Gone. Is that .org.nz, Penny?
.com
as well.
Dodgy John Has Gone.com. It's got a ring to it, Vinny.
It does have a ring to it, just like the Vinny Eastwood Show.
Exactly right. And if you want to giggle, look at give a girl a banner. We'll have a laugh. There's some graphics there you'll love.
Yeah, indeed. All right, well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to today's show. We very much appreciate it. And, of course, desperately need those donations and subscriptions to keep coming in so I can keep up this little operation, exposing scumbaggery and giving the activists who actually get the job done the coverage that they deserve, not because I have to, but because nobody else is doing it. It's not a choice. It's a lack of options. We'll see you again sometime.
Did you get a red light camera ticket? Red light cameras are a scam. The government and their corporate interests want you to believe they are about safety, but in reality they generate billions of dollars for private security firms like Redflex Incorporated, robbing you of time, money and energy. Don't let the flash steal your cash. At killredlightcameras.com, you can purchase a copy of You Don't Have to Pay, How Anyone Can Beat a Red Light Camera Ticket the Easy Way by Red Light Camera Crusader Rory Joseph Brown. Rory figured out the secret that the courts, police, and private camera companies don't want you to know. That in fact, these cameras are unconstitutional. You Don't Have to Pay as a field guide to go from receiving your ticket in the mail to beating it in court in 3 easy steps. Hurry, act now. Go to killredlightcameras.com. Available in both PDF and Kindle versions. If you know your rights, you don't have to pay.
Have you been feeling off lately? Tired, depressed, or in pain? Maybe you've tried doctors and medications without luck. What if you could try something?